John chapter 21 is where we're going to spend the majority of our time today. And before we read what I want to read to you, I just want to lay and pave a bit of a foundation of where we are in the story here. It's the very last chapter of John. It's the very last thing John wants to bring across. It says Jesus was arrested and questioned. And during that time, Peter denies knowing Jesus three times. We know that story very well. Jesus is then crucified on the cross. He's put in a tomb. And 3 days later, he comes back from the dead. Jesus appears to the disciples many times. We see about three times here before we pick up this story. And the disciples go back to what they know. Jesus is gone. Their leader's gone. You know, what are we going to do? So they go back to work. They go back to where Jesus had found them. Some of them were fishing. But here in the story, Jesus has still never questioned Peter's denial of him three times. That when Jesus was being questioned about who he was, Peter was there watching, and some people challenged him. Hey, you know this guy. And he said, no. Three times he denies him. And Jesus has never confronted Peter on that yet. And I wonder the atmosphere and possibly even the tension. Man, if I was in Peter's shoes, I'd be feeling the weight of that. Like, well, he's going to totally call me on this sometime. He's just waiting for that to happen. So we see here, we're going to pick up the story in about that kind of a thought. So again, John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, isn't that such a great time to start talking to someone? You know, you're kind of all relaxed around the table, you've eaten, you've had your good, you know, conversation. Now let's get down to business. Now let's like start talking here. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. There's three different things that happen here that I want to unpack a little bit. The first one is, why does Jesus use Peter's original name? Why does he say Simon, son of John, when Jesus is the one that gave the name, gave Peter the rock the name? And he goes back, refers back to his legal name. Why did he do that? The second thing I want to pull out of here is that why does he refer to take care of my lambs and feed my sheep and take care of my sheep and those? I want to unpack that. And then the third one, which I think we've all heard a few times, but I want to look at it in a different light, is dig a bit deeper into the word love. When he uses the word love here, what is he trying to say? What is he trying to convey? And we're going to unpack that as well. And you're going to be surprised at the terminology here. So the first thing is that the given name. Why does he say to him in John chapter 21, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, John's writing this, and he knows that he's talking to Simon Peter, but Jesus uses these words, Simon, son of John. Why does he use his given name? I want to show you just a couple other times in Scripture when Jesus refers to Simon Peter, even though he's given him that name, he refers back to his given name, not some slogan name or some nice name. He uses his given name here. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 33. It says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison or even to death. See, Jesus calls him out here because it's a serious moment. He's saying, Simon, I want your attention. I'm not going to use the name that I've given you. You know, when you and I start thinking about somebody, you want to talk to somebody else, and you're like, call their name. You know, if there's a crowd of people, you call out their name, and you're going to get their attention. It's almost like when we want to talk to a loved one, we, again, call out their name. Have you ever been called out that by your parents, your mother, or your father? You know, for me, I was like, Robert Charles Young, you get in here. I was like, oh, man, you know, there's some heat going on here. They're going to, you know, we're not messing around. They got my attention. My parents have my attention. And then Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, we also see Jesus saying it again here. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for this is not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Peter here says, you know, Jesus, who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter says, you know, you're the Son of God. And And Jesus replied to him, saying that, Simon, son of John, you got this from heaven. See, what I see is Jesus saying, like, when I want to challenge you, I'm going to use your given name. And when I want to bless you and congratulate you for doing the right thing, I want to use your name because I want you to know, I want to have your attention. This is the same Peter that heard these kind of words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. See, Peter was, you know, the rock, and we hear that, you know, he did well, and then he denied Christ. And he was around when Jesus said things like this in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 10. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his mother or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, Peter knew that. He has heard that. He heard Jesus speak. That's a tough word. And he wanted to follow Jesus all the days of his life. And he said, I'll even go to prison. I'll go to death. Watch what else he says in Matthew chapter 26. Peter says this. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I will follow you to the very, very end of the earth, to death, to imprisonment, whatever we need to do. And here, Jesus says, hey, listen up, Simon, son of John. I want to get your attention because I want to tell you something. In case you're not listening or you're forgetting, I'm not only going to say it once, I'm going to say it three times. How often do we say that to people too? Like, hey, are you listening? Let me repeat myself to you. He wants to repeat himself. He wants to get his attention. Peter knew that they were going to have this talk now. I feel like Jesus is using his given name. He's like, okay, well, Jesus got my attention now. We're going to have a serious talk. We're going to talk about something intense. And I want to show you in just a moment why Jesus wanted to get his attention, why it was so important. The second thing is about lambs and sheep. It says here, the very first thing that Jesus says, feed my lambs. The second thing he says, take care of my sheep. And the third thing he says, feed my sheep. Why does he use that kind of language here? When we do our research and we look back and we look at the word lamb or lambs, what is he talking about? The very first thing Jesus says, take care and feed my lambs. Feed those lambs. And what is that? And those are basically new believers. You know, you're young, you're tender, you're just growing in your faith. And Jesus says, when new believers come around, you take care of them, you feed them. You know, don't let them slip away. They're new in their faith. You know, they've just figured this out. Be close to them. Make sure you feed them. He goes on to say as well, take care of my sheep and feed my sheep. Well, the sheep are some of us that are grown, we're strong, we're mature, we've had years and years of teaching, years and years of Bible studies, years and years of prayer, these kind of things, so we're strong in our faith. And Jesus said, you're going to need to take care of them as well. But we see here again, lambs were named first. I love that idea. God says, you know, for those children, for those that are young in the faith, you know, take care of them, be close to them. Don't forget about them. It would also go on to say we would know that he's referring to the lambs because we see in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, this prophetic word that was given here about that. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that are young. You can see the tender heart of God. And Jesus is saying to Peter, now, I'm going to give you all of that, and how are you going to take care of them? Take care of them just as we read in Scripture. Bring them close to your heart. Take care of them. Love on them. So we see here again, verse 15 and 17, feed the lambs, feed the sheep. But there's something unique here right in the middle where there's a different wording. And when there's different terminology, man, we got to pay attention to that, eh? Take care of my sheep. Not feed them now, take care of them. What is that referring to? Why is that so important? And I think it really signifies that I want you to look after all the functions of the sheep, because in a new believer, you're trying to get them to understand, oh, here's the Bible, and here's how we pray. And, you know, you're just trying to give them the nuts and bolts, the basics. But with a sheep, somebody that's grown and strong and mature in the faith, you got to help them through all those kind of things growing up. You know, actually, that teaching's not right. And maybe the way you read that, you know, needs a bit of correction. So you're trying to take care of all the functions of the sheep. You're trying to encourage them, be generous, be giving, all those kind of things. So Jesus wants to refer to the whole picture of new believer to mature believer. Take care of all of them. Take care of all of those needs and don't forget them from beginning to end. I want you to take care of my people. I want you to look after the church. Peter, you know, did something wrong and Jesus wanted to call him out on that. And don't we do that often when we see somebody do something wrong? We're like, okay, we've got to correct that. But then Jesus goes a step further and he says, I know I need to deal with that with you, but I want to show you a greater calling on your life. I want to, yes, you did this mistake, but there's something better for you in the days to come. Don't let that hang you up. I know you denied me 3 times, but I've got something better in store for you, something greater in store for you. So he starts to encourage him here. And the third thing is, Jesus starts speaking about, like, do you love me? And what does that mean? What does that really look like? So in verse 15 of John chapter 21, we pick up the very first time he says, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. So often in today's world, we find that culturally, that word love is tainted. And I was just watching a fun little video of Goofy the other day, and he comes up to this giant big screen TV that he wants in his house, and he just leans on it, and he just goes, I love you, you know, like a TV, man. I do like my TV and projector, but not in the same regard as the true love that we have for God. The word love is used in sometimes an unintended way now, isn't it? You know, you just love everything. Well, that's not, how much do you actually really care, love the things that we're talking about? So when we do our research, we want to find what he meant. What did he mean when he said that in the scriptures? And what I find challenging is that when we look at it in English, we don't fully understand what it was like. You know, when Jesus spoke to Peter, you know, he used terminology that you and I just don't have in the English language. So we have to go back to the way it was originally written to, you know, get a real sense of what it was saying. So we see here when it says truly love, we're going to pick this up twice. The first time Jesus says, do you truly love me? The second time, do you truly love me? And the third time he just says, do you love me? There's 3 different ways that Jesus brings it across. Let's look at the first one. Truly, the word there, truly, and the word love, both words are the word agape. And the word agape in the original language is an active love for God. Do you actively love me? Do you truly love me? So he's really getting up in his face, making sure again. The very first time he says that, I want you to understand. And Simon Peter responds in this way, in a filio. This is the word that we see for an affection. Yes, Lord, I have affection for you. I don't know if I use the same terminology that you're using when you ask me the question. There's a distinct difference there we see in the word. The second time he says it in verse 16, he says, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Agape, the word there, do you truly an act of love for me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I have, again, filial, you know that I have affection for you. And Jesus is like, okay, we're going to say it a third time, and I hope I have your attention. The third time he says it, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you have affection for me? And Jesus uses the word filial here. He doesn't use agape now. He uses the word that Peter's been using. And I just thought, isn't that just an interesting, you know, he turns a corner here. Now, I can do some research, and there's lots of different theories out there of why he said it that way and why it was written that way. But it sure gets our attention. All of a sudden, Peter was hurt, it says, because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know that I have filial for you. You know I have affection for you. And I'm interested by that, why Peter was hurt the third time. I wonder if all of a sudden he remembered, like, oh, man, I remember 3 times I denied Christ. And now he's got my attention. He's reminding me again. Do I love him? Do I have a deep sense of love for him? Do I agape God? He reminds him a third time. Peter may have been concerned that he was going to call him out again. Because remember the last time Peter said, you know, I'm going to follow you to the ends of the earth. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. I wonder if he was concerned that Jesus was going to call him out on some future problem or concerns that he might have. But here we see that the church that Jesus Christ is about to entrust to Peter, he bought with his blood. He bought with the cross. And now he's going to ascend into heaven, Jesus is, and he's entrusting Peter with the future of the church. I think he has every right to call Peter out on that and to challenge him with that. Are you going to take care of the flock? Are you going to take care of the lambs and the sheep? And are you going to love me? Because if you don't, you're going to deny me again. Isn't that just straight truth right there? If you don't love me, if you don't agape me, you will not follow through with what I'm about to entrust to you. We see here that Jesus is asking Peter if he loves him. Not if he fears him, not if he honors him or admires him or has even affection for him, but he's asking him, do you love me? Because when the next time some heat comes and somebody questions you, do you love me? Do you know me? I pray that you wouldn't deny me again, Jesus is saying. Because if you love me, you will not deny me. You will honor me. You will admire me. You'll have affection for me. And you'll have a healthy fear of me. And sometimes I think we need to be questioned on that, don't we? Because sometimes I think we can get so comfortable. And I think 2020 sure is an uncomfortable time, isn't it? It really woke us up. Got us going again. And Jesus is asking us the same question during this Christmas season. If you think, well, we just thought, oh, well, we can at least meet together again, you know, by the end of the year, maybe we can have Christmas together, and all of a sudden, all that's been stripped away. All that's been masked away, and you can't do any of those kind of things this Christmas season. You know, outside of the presents and the tree and all the lights and the dinner and the desserts, whoa, the desserts, and that's my favorite. I love those desserts. What does Christmas really look like for you and me this year? Because you're not going to have people over. You're not going to have these, you know, wonderful gatherings of people that we're used to doing. So what are we going to do? And we read here the ultimate sign of Christmas and the ultimate sign of love that God has for his people, this kind of agape kind of love, we would read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love, his agape love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the kind of love that we want to inherit, we want to receive. It says here that God did that in hope. That God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. So he gave his son up in hope that you and I would turn to him. I want to share a story with you. As I read that piece of scripture, years and years ago, I read a story in the Bible. Or not in the Bible, I mean, those are great stories, but I read a story that somebody wrote about this piece of scripture in the Bible. And this story has a father and a son in it, and a son's friend. So the father had a son. He said, hey, let's go out in the boat, let's go fishing. And his son says to him, Dad, is it okay if I bring one of my best friends? And his father says, well, it was going to be a father-son retreat, but okay, that's fine. This is your friend. Let's bring him along for the ride. They go out fishing into some deep waters. And all of a sudden, the weather changed on them very, very quickly. And, you know, waves were coming over the boat. And at some point, a wave came over and knocked the son out of the boat and the son's friend. And somehow they were on either side of the boat. And the father has a life, you know, preserver kind of thing. And he's got a decision to make because he sees his son going away quickly. And he sees his son's friend going away quickly. He has to make a split decision here. And in his mind, he thinks about, my son knows Jesus. He knows the Lord. I know where he's going to end up. And my son's friend doesn't know Christ, and he doesn't know Jesus. I don't even know the kid too well, but I know he doesn't know Christ. So he looks at his son with the life preserver, and he goes, son, I love you! And he looks at his son's friend, and he throws the life preserver to his son's friend and brings him to the boat. And by the time he gets the son's friend to the boat, his son is long gone, and he's never found. And after the pastor or the speaker had shared that story, He comes off the pulpit, and there's some young people in the front row, and they come to the speaker or the pastor, and they say to him, you know, that's a nice story, but that's not very realistic, is it? You know, to throw the life preserver to not even your son. You gave up your son? And the speaker, the pastor said to him, I know it seems unrealistic, but it's a true story because I am that son's friend. And when that father did that act, it spoke to me how much God loves me as well, that he'd be willing to give up his son. Isn't that an eye-opener? I don't think that I would probably act in the same way. I got to be honest with you. Like my son, that I would want to throw the life preserver to somebody I don't know. I mean, probably a nice kid, but not my son. But that's exactly what God did for you and I. And when we read the kind of stories and the scriptures that we see here, and we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What Jesus did, what God did for us is an indescribable gift. That's the kind of love that you and I are to have for one another, for God, for his church. I just think that's such an eye-opener. I think, wow, what a story. You know, we can't go to church. We can't have family and friends over during the holidays. We might not even get the present under the tree that we really wanted. But who cares? Because we got Jesus. And thank God for his indescribable gift that he gave to us. Thank God that he reached out to us. Even though we were sinners, he reached out and loved on us. We got Jesus. I can't even remember a time, it's so long ago now, where I haven't had Jesus in my life. And I think in 2020, if I was unsaved and didn't have Jesus, it must be stressful. It must be a worrisome time. And for you and I, you know, we can't do church, can't do Christmas Eve, all kind of stuff. But we got Jesus. We got everything we need. So let's never forget that. As I share stories like that, and as I preach, and as I talk about getting saved and baptized, again, it creates wonderful conversations in my household. And years ago, my two daughters were trying to explain to them, like, how to get saved, how to get Jesus in your life. And my daughter, Celeste, came to the dinner table one night, and she goes, I have Jesus in my tummy, because she had said the salvation prayer. And of course, like any young sister would, young Vivian, who was quite young at the time, you know, goes up to my daughter, Celeste, and starts lifting up her shirt and goes, can I see Jesus? Because she said it was in her tummy, right? And that's all she can think about. And how do you and I see Jesus in this season? How do you and I connect with our Jesus? Might be having a hard time seeing Jesus at work in all this, but we can trust him. But never forget that before he ascended into heaven, he made sure and he reminded Peter of who and what he loves. He got his attention by using his given name, and he reminded him how to care for the church, for the lambs and the sheep, and who he was to love. And if you remember so often, you would see in an email on our church website, many papers or documents that we use, I use this slogan here. I use love God, love people, and love the church. And love God is first, and it's there for a reason. It wasn't just like, you know, a nice little slogan we put together. Love God. Like, seriously. Like, love God. If you can love God, if you know who God is in your life, you will be able to. And it doesn't say love the church or love believers or love Christians. It says love people. Love all people. Love your workers and your neighbors and the people that you don't like. And then love the church. But if you can't just like have affection for people or have affection for the church, because if you don't love God, you will not be able to love those other things. Well, it's a challenge for you and I. It's the same that God would be asking us. He asked Peter that day, do you love me? And I think the question for you and I during this season, during this time, is that do we seriously love God? One time, who do we love? I want you to think about that. And the second time, I want to ask you again, who do you love? Who do you seriously love this season right now? And God is always wants to get our full attention. Third time, I'm going to ask you, who do you seriously love right now? Now, is there anything that's getting in your way so that you cannot fully love God. You have to give it up. This is a great reset button 2020 to get closer to God, to get things out of the way that are hindering your relationship with God, because God wants you to love him wholeheartedly. And that's the challenge. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that you shed light on our hearts so clearly through Scripture. And you question our thinking and our motives and our ideas about you. And God, I pray that you would strip away all of that so that we could see you clearly. How much you care for us, how much you love us, how you sent your son for us. Help us to never forget that in Jesus' name. God, we want to receive you in a fresh new way this Christmas season. God, as we have all this extra time on our hands, would we spend it with you? Would you remind us, would you reset our thinking so that we can find you and that we can know you and that we can love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.